Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
No, sir. No Sturge, not today.
Sturgeless.
We are Sturgeless. We're Sturgeless in Seattle. Jeff Pantridge, Big Daddy Cole Diesel, and most importantly, you, the people, Sturge Nation. Do you guys call them Sturge Nation?
I don't know. I think we should have a contest to name Sturge's listener group.
Yeah, we should absolutely have a contest. Yeah.
Sturgeons?
I like the Sturgeons. That's not bad. I like Sturgeons. Because everything's a nation now. Like, I'm tired of nations. Like, there's only one nation, and it's Raider Nation. That's it. The Oakland Raiders started Raider Nation, and then the Red Sox stole it. We're Red Sox Nation. Then everybody's a nation, like the Poughkeepsie Nation.
So trendy.
It's like, yeah, just come up with your own stuff, man. So, yeah, if you guys need to come up with a name for the Sturge listeners, the Sturgeons. I like that. You'll need to get Sturge involved, obviously, in that one. I'll tell you what, speaking of Sturge, this has been an interesting experience for me, Diesel, because since I've been here, I got here on Thursday, and I've never done this before. I'm pretty much living another man's life. It's weird. I've taken a vacation from myself, and I've basically become Mark Sturgis. When you think about it,
okay.
I'm hosting his radio show. I'm hosting Straight Up with Sturge. Not only that, I'm house sitting.
Living in his house.
I'm living in his house.
You're wearing his clothes, which you don't have to, but, I appreciate the effort.
I don't like khakis. Yeah, Sturge loves him some khakis. Khakis just aren't my thing.
He's got a lot of the Steph Curry white New Balances.
He loves those. He loves those. It's like, yeah, Sturge and I are going to have to talk in a little fashion when he gets back. But I'm not wearing his clothes, but I'm hosting his radio show. I'm staying in his home. By the way, it feels good to be Sturge. Like, being Sturge is a lot better than being me because he's got a radio show. I don't. He's got a beautiful home. I don't. Like, his home is wonderful. It's palatial. It's nice to see how the other half lives. The water pressure in Sturge's shower is like nothing I've ever felt before. It's like Niagara Falls. It's crazy. Like, it's the best shower I've ever had. I'm used to, like, just little trickles happening in my place. Sturge, man, it's just coming down. It's like, man, this is what it's like to be, a megastar like Mark Sturgis.
You get sprinkled on and you like it, but not now.
Yeah, no.
Now you can't go back.
No, you can't. No, you absolutely can't. So, like, it feels so good to be someone else, finally. I get to be a legend. And so I get to do his show. I get to stay in his house, hang out with his dogs and his cat.
And now you have to take care of his dogs.
Yeah, taking care of his dogs. I got that going on. Yep. And I get to drive his car. He's got a better car than me. He's got a better house than me. Like, this is great. This is the best week of my life, man.
They say sometimes to understand somebody, you have to walk a mile in their shoes.
Yeah.
And I know you're not doing that, but, I mean, it's pretty close.
I'm walking a mile in those New Balances, man. I'm okay with it. Yeah.
You put them on, you're like, you know what?
They don't feel too bad.
These feel pretty good.
Yeah. I like being Mark Sturgis. Yeah, I'm going to ask him once he gets back if he wants to trade. He's Sturge, if you want to be me, you can, bro. It's open. I'll
life on the
right
road,
now.
Going here, going there.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, just living, man, being free. Yeah, but just with really bad water pressure. That's the rub. Is my shower sucks, but the rest of my life is pretty cool. I get to do some cool stuff. I'm gonna head off to Chicago after this. Hopefully do some radio out there. I'm just going to go, chill out for a few days. I'm going to hit Asheville for a day. I got some radio friends up there. I'm going to try to see if I can work something up there where I can get a little side gig in Asheville. And I'm just going to kind of see what happens. And we'll see. But it's good to be free. But at the same time, it's good to have stuff, too. And Sturge has a lot of stuff. And more importantly than stuff, though, Sturge gets a lot of love. Like, it feels really good, which I've never really... rarely felt before, is like coming home and having two dogs that are so happy that you're coming home that like they flip out and they're jumping all over you and I'm like, oh man, this is pretty cool. Might have to get some dogs now, man.
Yeah.
Like they love me and it feels good to be loved.
What kind of dog man are you?
I don't know.
Big dog, little dog?
Little dogs. I think little dogs, not super little, but I love Sturgis dogs. They're great. Yeah, they're fun. I don't know what they are. They're like
one's a Chihuahua, one's some sort of mix.
Yeah, some mix. And
like a little dog.
I don't know anything about dogs. Like when people start, you know,
I think she's a Jack Russell.
Really?
See, Jack Russell mix, I think.
Okay. See, I don't know. When people at a party start talking about their dogs and they're like, oh, what is it? It's a mix. This is this. I'm like, I get lost and I have nothing to add to the conversation. My dog knowledge is just nothing. I got nothing. It's bad. It's like, I might as well be talking, you know, water dancing. It's just, I got nothing when it comes to dogs. So I can't offer anything there. But if I get a couple of dogs, then I'll start learning about other dogs and maybe I might become a dog.
And you realize, oh crap, I should have got one of those other dogs, not this dog.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But I love the dogs. I'm having a great time with the dogs. We went out on, Thursday night. We had a great time and it was meeting listeners and like, hey man, if you're a friend of Sturge, you're a friend of ours. And like, and tomorrow we're going to be out and I'm going to pretend I'm Sturge tomorrow. Like I'm going to be Sturge at Frankie's at the Parkway tomorrow. So it's great. So yeah, I'm really enjoying walking in another man's New Balances for the next several days. Hope you guys are as well. Lots of ways for you guys to get a hold of us on the radio program or program, depending on how you like to say it. You can get us at 844-GSP-ESPN, or you can text us at 71307. Make sure you start your text with ESPN. So, hour number one, we talked about the NBA Finals. I wanted to kind of reset that conversation from the other side. We talked a lot about the Golden State Warriors in hour number one because the Golden State Warriors are the story. That's what's making these finals interesting. These finals, I didn't think this would happen, honestly. Coming into the NBA Finals, I thought that Golden State would win in five. And I was very uninterested in these NBA finals because Toronto was just boring as all get out to me. And the Toronto story, and I'm going to get to that side of the story in a second, it's still doesn't really have the sizzle for me. What I'm interested in, see, I love sports, and I love certain teams, but more than teams, I love sports for the story. I don't have a baseball team. In baseball, I root for the story. I rooted for the Cubs in 2016. I flew to Chicago just to see them win the World Series because it was a great story because it had never been done or hadn't been done in 108 years. I love a good story, and I don't think there's a better story right now than a comeback story. And Kevin Durant coming back in Game 5. By the way, he is in the starting lineup. That just came out recently. Kevin Durant coming back in Game 5, finding a way, perhaps, for them to win three games in a row in completing one of the greatest comebacks in the history of sports. That story, to me, is juicy. That would make these NBA Finals. That's why I'm so heavily invested in these NBA Finals. It's the most interested I've been in a Finals in years.
What you're saying is Toronto's the steak. They're good basketball.
Sure.
And Golden State is the sizzle.
Yes.
That's where all the good story is.
Yep.
The question is, well, the people who hate Golden State because they're so good.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to hate Golden State for any other reason other than the fact that they're good.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not made up of bullies. Well, Draymond Little.
Draymond's kind of a bully and they're kind of arrogant. Draymond's arrogant. Yeah. KD.
But they're not bad. They're not embroiled in controversy all the time.
They don't have any off the court problems.
Right. It seems to be, on the outside looking in, it seems to be a bunch of classy guys and Draymond, just who are just really good at basketball.
Yes.
And everybody else just not as good.
Yep.
That's just, you know, so you can hate them because they're so good.
Uh-huh.
But the question is, does completing a comeback story, the story of completing a comeback with Kevin Durant, does that bring any of those fans back to the fold? Like anybody who was on the edge, anybody who was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know who I'm cheering for. Does it help?
Yes.
Any of the non-hardcore fans get into Golden State Warriors basketball again?
Yes, because Golden State they've now taken on the role as the underdog. And I love Game of Thrones. I know you're not a Game of Thrones guy, but one thing that made Game of Thrones great was the character arcs. How a character would be, you know, be a bad guy, and then he would turn into a good guy, or vice versa. Golden State, with what's happened now with the Durant injury, with the Klay Thompson injury, with him missing a game and a half. With Boogie Cousins kind of coming back and not even being close to 100%. Golden State has become the underdog. And I think a lot of people are going to come back to Golden State if they can find a way. It's a tall order to win three games. They got to win tonight, let alone three games. But if they can find a way, if they can get to game seven, if they can find a way to win game five and game six, and you polled 1,000 people, I bet more people would root for Golden State than Toronto to win the NBA Finals. I'm certainly rooting for Golden State. I'm on team Dubs.
You know what I realized? I just realized that the Golden State Warriors are the Nickelback of NBA basketball.
Oh, no, they're not. Wow.
Because, Nickelback just keeps putting out solid record after solid record
after solid record.
Yeah. They sell out stadiums everywhere they go. They're just good.
Yeah.
But there's no, you know, there's not a whole lot of substance to them.
Are you talking about Toronto or Golden State?
Golden State.
Okay, they're the Nickelback of basketball.
They're just good.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, honestly, it became a trend.
Yeah.
To hate Nickelback, and then it took off. And now it's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now they became a meme.
Yeah.
But still, they put out good records. Golden State just keeps putting out good seasons year after year after year.
Yeah.
You know, so again, what would it take for people to come back to the Nickelback fold and understand that? Wow.
Nobody's ever come back to Nickelback. Like, Nickelback has become a parody of itself.
Somebody just crashed his car. Did he really?
Yeah.
Just call them the Nickelback of basketball.
They're not the Nickelback of basketball. They're best team in the world. Nickelback's the worst band in the world. Nickelback. I get it. They're not as bad as everybody says. And they kind of got singled out. You know, there's a lot of bad rock out there.
Yeah.
There's a ton of bad rock out there. And Nickelback is unfortunately the poster child. But the Golden State is, like you're saying, like they're the poster children of winning sports, and like people are tired of them.
Yeah.
Just like people are tired of Nickelback. I don't know if the hate is there. Like, I think there's more hate for the Patriots than Golden State.
Sure.
The Patriots
deserve it though.
Because the Patriots cheat. You know, the Patriots have had a history of cheating. They have all kinds of PED stuff, the Spygate stuff.
Getting great calls.
Getting calls in their favor. There's Belichick being ornery. People not liking Brady because he is what he is. Like, there are so many reasons to hate the Patriots. The only reason to hate Golden State is because they're good, like you said, and because they're a little cocky sometimes. People get tired of that. How do you feel personally about Golden State? Do you hate them? Do you not like them? Are you rooting for them?
I'm neutral on them, but I want somebody else to win it finally.
Yeah.
You know, I'm all right, a dynasty is fun,
mm-hmm.
but a dynasty can't go on too long or becomes wearisome.
Yeah.
It becomes tiring.
Sure, absolutely.
And I think that's where we are.
Yep.
I think that's where we are with Golden State.
Yep.
And the problem is there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of end in sight for them falling apart. Kevin Durant leaves.
Yeah, they'll still be pretty good. Best team, probably, or one of the two best, you know.
And who knows who they'll replace him with.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah,
because if they clear a max contract, I don't know what he's making. I don't know if he's got a max contract.
It's not quite a max, I don't think.
But if they clear a close-to-max contract, they can replace him with another close-to-max contract
might just
guy.
Kawhi in there or something. Who knows, you know? LeBron or Anthony Davis, who knows?
Oh, God, LeBron on the Golden State Warriors.
Who knows? Anything's possible with the Warriors. But, yeah, that's a good point. That's definitely a good point. So, and it's just people obviously root for underdogs, and Toronto is the ultimate underdog story because people don't really know their story, and it's an interesting story. It has been interesting because of the Drake factor. That helps the fans. We have an entire country that's behind this team now. It's a basketball team versus a country. That's cool when you have that Canadian story, because the entire country of Canada has not won a North American sports championship since 1993.
That's like watching the Toronto Argonauts come down and win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, exactly. Because it hadn't happened in hockey, their sport. They got six teams up there, and none of them have won since the Canadians in 93. The Blue Jays also won in 93 when they repeated in 92-93. But ever since then, Blue Jays haven't won anything, and between the six hockey teams in Canada, nobody's gotten a sniff in their sport. So they're all glomming onto this. And it's cool because these fans are passionate, man. They're nuts. And it's fun to see. And Toronto is it's good basketball. It's Kawhi Leonard is, as far as I'm concerned, he's arguably the best athlete. I think he's the best player in the league. You could talk about Kevin Durant or Greek Freak or Harden Or even LeBron. I know LeBron got hurt this year and he kind of fell off a little bit. But right now, pound for pound, I think Kawhi Leonard's the best player in the league because of what he does on defense. He's the best defender in the league, and he's one of the, probably one of the top, I'd say, four or five offensive players in the league, where KD is very good. He's a very good defender, not amazing like Kawhi. Yeah, KD's better offensively. He's the best offensive player in the game. But I'll take Kawhi Leonard right now as the best basketball player in the league. Not only that, Kawhi Leonard, he's boring. He doesn't say anything, but he might be the best athlete in the world. Like, when you start thinking about other athletes, football, American football, they're only playing one side of the ball. You know, so Kawhi Leonard is, he's, you know, Antonio Brown, or he's Odell Beckham Jr., and he's J.J. Watt. He's playing both sides of the ball. So you got to say that he's a better athlete than anybody in the NFL. Major League Baseball, get out of here. I mean, they do nothing. They stand around for half the game. They sit around for the other half of the game. Hockey, they do play defense. But I don't know if anybody's as good of a stopper as Kawhi is in hockey and offensively talented. Cristiano Ronaldo, you know, maybe Messi. Like, I think he's in that conversation. I think Kawhi is that good. He's on that level now where because he's got better defensive skills than those guys. He could be argued the best athlete in the world.
Well, he can't be Ronaldo because he doesn't have a horrible statue of him.
Yeah, that's a bad statue. Yeah, they really messed that up. Maybe he'll get one. I don't know. We'll see. But not enough people in my mind are talking about Toronto. And that's just because the Golden State story is so interesting. It's just so juicy. There's so many layers to this where Toronto, they're the underdog. That's pretty much it. But you got to give them their props. We will see if they close the show tonight. I don't think they will. I think I'm still rolling with Golden State in seven. I'm going to be the only guy. I think I'm the only person, me and Katie's mom, are the only people that think Golden State is going to find a way to win this series in seven games. If you want to weigh in on anything, you can hit us up 844-GSP-ESPN. That's 844-GSP-ESPN. Coming up, I still want to get into a few more layers of the game tonight and the series. But also, coming up next, I think Diesel and I are going to have our first fight. You're going to want to hear this. That's on the other side. It is Straight Up with Sturge. There we go. Ah, yeah. That's the music I wanted, Diesel, right there. Jeff Pantridge filling in for Mark Sturgis. Big Daddy Cool Diesel hanging out. If you're listening last segment, I teased that Diesel and I might have our first fight.
Dun-dun-dun.
Yeah.
Showdown.
It's about Rocket Man. I went and saw Rocket Man yesterday because the weather sucked. I really wanted to go out and explore Greenville. And I want to, you know, Diesel, you gave me some suggestions on stuff to do, and it kind of annoyed me yesterday because the weather was bad all day and it never really rained until like last night. It just like threatened to rain all day. So I'm like, I don't know. I'll go see a movie. So I ended up seeing Rocket Man.
And?
I loved it.
You did?
Yes.
Okay.
And I saw you tweeting from your Twitter at Diesel on Radio the other night that you hated it.
I didn't love it. No.
Why not? What happened?
I didn't love it.
What?
First of all, I didn't choose to go see Rocket Man.
Oh, the girlfriend.
The girlfriend brought me to see Rocket Man.
Okay, that's the year off to a bad start already.
Second of all, you're
coming in with a negative mindset.
I came into it hoping that it would be as good as Bohemian Rhapsody.
Okay.
Because Bohemian Rhapsody was fantastic.
It was very good.
Fantastic movie.
Yeah.
And I didn't know a whole lot about Elton John. All I know about Elton John is some of the bigger, more rock-based hits.
Mm-hmm.
And I know him from The Lion King, honestly.
Oh, okay.
That's about it.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect it to be a musical.
I didn't either. Yeah.
That was weird.
Yeah. By the way, if you haven't seen it, it's a musical. Yeah, and I wasn't ready for that. Because, I don't like musicals. I'm just not into musicals. I appreciate the art form, but personally, it just does nothing for me. I've seen, I think, two musicals in my life. I got dragged by a chick to see a Rocky Horror Picture Show once, and that was terrible. And The Wizard of Oz is a musical. Right. Everybody's seen that, and that's great. We all love The Wizard of Oz. But yeah, as far as that, like other musicals, like going to see a musical as an adult on purpose, no. And to be honest, when I sit in my seat and I start watching the movie, I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
It's a musical?
Yeah. Like, I was like, okay, the intro, I get it. It's the intro.
Mm-hmm.
But then they just did another musical number and then another musical number, and I was like,
See, and this is what I did. I made a conscious decision as I'm watching the movie. And guys out there, if you're out there and you don't like musicals, but you really want to see Rocket Man, just give it a chance. And this is why. I told myself, you know what? Yes, self, I don't like musicals, but I love Elton John. You know, and like, if I can get past the fact that it's a musical and focus on everything else in the movie, I can still enjoy the movie for what it is. And that's what I did. And then as the movie went on, I actually just enjoyed it, period. It's like, I didn't even care that it was a musical. And then I just kind of, I sat back and I watched the musical numbers. I'm like, I appreciated that for what it was. And it was just, okay, it's cool. It's a cool scene to see all this stuff happening. And I thought, I loved the story. I thought it was fabulous all the way around.
To me, it was sort of the underlying tone of self-loathing.
Yeah.
That I couldn't get into, man. It's like, all right, you're a rock star.
Yep.
I get that you had a troubled childhood,
sure.
Troubled life in general, as most
rock stars do.
Most rock stars and most artists do.
It's
typically having some sort of tragedy or strife in your life is what compels you to be great.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I didn't like the down negative tone of the whole thing.
I enjoyed it because it felt real, and Elton John was an executive producer on the movie, so so it was his story, and like you said, that's what makes these guys a lot of times is the pain. Without the pain, you can't write or he didn't write it. Most of his friend wrote most of his stuff, but it's hard to without the pain, you can't really dig deep, and find that art within yourself.
See, that's something I didn't know. I didn't know that he didn't write his own songs.
I didn't know that either. Yeah, he's like a part of a team with another guy.
He's a performer.
Yeah.
He's a performer.
And the other guy wrote most of the stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, but I've always been a fan of his, and I liked it. And I love to hear, seeing more about his personal life. I didn't really get too much of that. A lot of people thought there was too much of that, including you. It was like too much personal stuff, not enough music.
I wanted a rock star story.
Yeah. And we got an Elton John story. And I was fine with it. I thought it was fantastic. Would I say it's as good as Bohemian Rhapsody? No. I don't think but Bohemian Rhapsody was very good.
Right.
Like, just, a guy won an Oscar for it. But still, I thought the dude that played Elton John was phenomenal. Thought he was really good. I thought the lady that played his mom was great. She, you wanted to hate her. The guy that played his dad, I don't know. I really thought it was a great movie. I highly recommend it. That's a little something we like to call Pants and Diesel at the movies.
I just can't wait for the Def Leppard biopic to come out. It's going to happen. One of these days.
Yeah.
One of these days, they're going to trickle down because it's going to become a trend.
Oh, well,
Like calling your team a nation, your fan base a nation.
Well, there seems to be a lot more biopics coming out
the
now.
The Dirt, which was really good. I don't know if you've seen that.
I liked it, and a lot of people hated it, but I loved Motley Crue growing up, so it made me like it. And I watched it knowing what it was. It wasn't supposed. It's not Citizen Kane. It's Motley Crue.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people were like, oh, it was terrible, the acting. It was like, oh, come on.
And it's not supposed to be an absolute true to the original story.
No.
Dear Courtney Love came out today and slammed it.
Oh, really?
She's like, hey, yeah, me and my girlfriends were sitting there getting massages laughing at this rapper playing Tommy Lee. I'm like, wait a minute. You're one of the dirtiest human beings on earth, and you're crapping on other dirty human beings for doing dirty things.
Yeah.
I'm like, stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah,
you're just trying to be relevant at this point.
Exactly.
Trying to be relevant.
Yeah, that's lame. But yeah, I liked it. I enjoyed The Dirt. I love biopics. Like that. If just about if any biopic comes out, I'm going to watch it. Ray, Johnny Cash, what else has been in the last like 10 years? James Brown, the NWA biopic straight out of Compton
really
was
good.
Phenomenal. Maybe the best out of any of them.
Biggie's biopic?
I didn't like Biggie's. The Biggie's, I watched it. I wasn't really a fan of it. I loved his music. I didn't like his biopic. I just didn't think it was, as good as some of the other ones. I thought
if Puffy's involved, it's clearly not going to be that good.
Yeah. And so what's next? Like, what would be, and you guys can weigh in. We talk sports, but we talk music and we talk life, man. I do a different kind of show. If you're just figuring this out here in the upstate, we definitely talk sports, but there's more to life than sports. And we like to open things up a little bit because people like other things. When you're hanging out with your buddies, you don't just sit and talk sports the entire time. You talk about women, you talk about cars, you talk about food, movies, entertainment, and that's what we do here. That's what I like to do. So what would be the next great biopic? What would you like to see?
I'd love to see like a Tom Petty biopic, but I don't know if it would be that entertaining.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know how interesting his life was.
How many more larger-than-life characters are there?
Yep.
That they can focus on.
Because I read a quote from
an Ozzy biopic will happen at some point.
Oh, that'll be good. Yeah. Yeah, an Ozzy biopic.
There won't be a Ronnie James Dio one because he just wasn't as entertaining.
No.
A human being.
But you can include Sabbath in the Ozzy. You know, right. You include the Sabbath years with Ozzy and, you know, getting back together with him and everything. And you could have a Ronnie James Dio role in the movie. But, yeah, you can't center the movie around him.
Right.
But Ozzy, I mean, that guy, that's a movie.
Yeah,
I would pay to see Ozzy Osbourne's life. That's a really good one. I would love to see that one. What would you guys like to see? 844-GSP-ESPN. How about Michael Jackson? Like a real biopic of Michael Jackson.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is the world ready for that? Do you think they would ignore all the allegations?
See, that you can't. That's the thing. So Michael Jackson's estate would never sign off on it.
Right. What do they want to sell?
Yeah.
Do they want to sell that he's a beloved pop star?
Yeah.
Or do they want to sell that he's a flawed individual?
Yeah, exactly.
Because
yeah.
flawed individual sells tickets.
That does sell tickets. Yeah, definitely. What about
and
Prince?
And then by including that, you essentially admit that it happened.
Yeah. Yeah. So that would never happen.
Right.
Has there been an Elvis biopic yet? Elvis has an interesting story.
Yeah, I don't. There was that movie Bubba Hotep, but I don't think that was a real biopic.
Yeah, I'd like to see, because I've always thought that, like, I've always pictured Johnny Depp playing Elvis. I think Johnny Depp, he could definitely play a young Elvis, you know, and he could put some weight on and be, you know, fat Elvis.
Well, he was included in Walk the Line, but
Johnny
it wasn't.
Depp?
Elvis.
Elvis was in Walk the Line. That's right. Yeah, Jerry Lee Lewis was in it as well. A lot of stars from back then. So, yeah, Elvis would be great. Other biopics that I would love to see, I'd love to see Wu-Tang, because we were talking about Wu-Tang last week, the Wu-Tang Clan. I think that would be a great biopic. You know, their rise to fame coming out of Shaolin, Staten Island. That'd be cool.
Okay.
What about Nirvana? Speaking of Courtney Love.
That'd end up really dark.
It's okay. Hey, sometimes movies have.
And there were several. There was Bleach. Bleach was it was a small scale film.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are a few out there.
Well, they have some great documentaries out there. HBO did a fabulous Kurt Cobain documentary called Montage of Heck. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
There's been several Kurt Cobain documentaries, but I don't know if there's ever been one where it's like a biopic where they have an actor playing Kurt Cobain. I think that would be really cool. I would totally be on board with that. Any Aerosmith? I'm not a fan of Aerosmith, but I think they have an interesting story because they were, you know, they were riding the highs and, you know, doing drugs and they fell apart and then they came back. That'd be good. A Beastie Boys. The Beastie Boys would be great.
I think that'd be an interesting one.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. As a music lover, man, you want to get to, you know, see.
I could see a Metallica biopic happening one day.
The biopic would be better than any of the documentaries they've done. I watched that one. It was like some kind of monster.
Some kind of monster.
And it was just them bitching at each other for 3 hours. It was just awful. God, it was like it was the worst 3 hours of my life.
What was crazy, it was only supposed to be a documentary about the making of that album.
Yeah.
And then they just got so much great footage. They're like, we got to make a movie out of this.
Yeah. And it was awful. You two.
Who inspired a character on another show called Metalocalypse named Dr. Twinkletitz.
Look at that.
And if you write out the word Twinkletitz and then read it, you're like, oh, okay, this is what Twinkletitz is.
Yeah.
And then he was just this wussy sweater-wearing therapist who was helping the band figure out their crap.
Okay, I got you. Twinkletitz. Good stuff.
It's Twinkle something.
Yeah, I got you. Oh.
Yeah.
What about the Beatles? Has there ever been a Beatles biopic? The Beatles have an interesting story. And that ended tragically as well, you know. But like that, I think a Beatles biopic would be phenomenal.
Bringing it back full circle, did you know there was a Hobbit film almost starring the Beatles?
I did not know that.
Yeah,
look at that. Wow, yeah. Was Smaug in there?
Would have been.
Smaug's the dragon.
Would have
right?
been. Yeah, yeah, in some way.
Yeah. All right, good stuff. All right, coming up next,
we have 4 listeners left, and that's they're all fine. Like, "Why are we? You know, what are we tuned into?"
We're just having fun, man.
Talking life.
Yeah, talking life. We're gonna talk sports next. It's okay. We're coming back to sports. We're gonna get back into the NBA finals. If Toronto wins tomorrow, or if they win Game 6 or 7, will this be ranked in the history of upsets? In sports, will it be the greatest upset in NBA playoff history? We'll talk about that next. A little over 15 minutes ago. And the old radio program, Jeff Pantridge, Big Daddy Cool Diesel, and you hanging out until 7 o'clock tonight on Straight Up with Sturge. So if the Raptors win tonight, will it go down as the greatest upset in NBA history? It's up there in modern history. I'm not going to go back to the 40s or anything, but this Golden State team was looked at as an invincible team even without Kevin Durant. Everybody thought they were going to steamroll through them, and now the Raptors might win in 5.
No, it will not go down as the greatest upset in history because there's so many injuries, so many players yeah. out. There will always be an asterisk. Yeah, you won the series, but you didn't have to beat KD.
Yeah.
You didn't have to be, you know, they didn't mm-hmm. didn't have this guy or that guy for
Clay.
This game.
They didn't have Clay. They didn't have Cousins wasn't really healthy. Like they certainly weren't at full strength. And even now, with everybody back, they're not at full strength because everybody's coming off of injuries. And we just don't know what KD's going to be able to give. Clay, I got to hand it to Clay Thompson. He was great in game 4. Clay came back and he looked normal. Klay Thompson looked like nothing was wrong. He was going on defense. He was playing hard on offense. Klay Thompson kept that team in the game. It was just they ran into a buzzsaw in the third quarter in game 4 with Kawhi Leonard. Those 2 3-pointers he hit at the beginning of the third quarter changed that game. I think we talked about it with I think it was with Sturge. On Thursday, it might have been with Sturge on Thursday or was Friday, you and I, Diesel. I remember we talked about how a lot of times, like I think it was game 2 where Golden State got off to that run in the third quarter because everybody was still piling into their seats. You know, you got people like getting their hot dogs and nachos at halftime, and then the road team gets hot in the beginning of the third quarter. And that's what Toronto did. Toronto got hot. Kawhi got hot, especially hit those huge 3-pointers to pull them into the lead. And then he went off the rest of the third quarter, and then they got that lead and they never gave up. I said this the other day. Toronto is playing like a champion plays. They get a lead, and then they step on your throat. Every time Golden State gets a little run where Steph will hit a crazy 3, the crowd gets into it, Toronto says, uh-uh, and they shut them down. And we'll see if Toronto slams the door tonight against the Golden State Warriors. I think Golden State finds a way to win with KD. I think just him being there is going to be huge for them because they're going to get a lot more spacing. This is the thing. Toronto has figured out you can beat Golden State. If KD's out, all you got to do is focus on Clay and Steph and don't let them shoot 3s. So they're shooting all these contested 3s and they're getting no help. Now that KD's in there, you have another inside presence along with Draymond and Iguodala hopefully getting a little bit healthier for Golden State as well. Golden State's going to be able to do what they do, which is space the basketball, pass the basketball, pass up a good shot for a great shot. And I think Golden State is going to find a way to win a very close game this evening. Diesel, what are your thoughts on tonight's game?
I think if Toronto can't close it out tonight, they lose the series.
Me too.
You have to win tonight.
Yep.
Because as you were saying earlier in the show, mm-hmm. You got guys who will now have a game that they've been tested.
Yeah.
They've been able to put some real game time reps on their injured bodies.
Yep.
And if even injured, they can find a way to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
They win 2 more.
This is by far the hardest of the 3. And like these athletes, I can't stand. Like I don't go into locker rooms because they're boring to me. Like because athletes all say the same thing. We're gonna take it one game at a time. I don't want to hear that. What's that going to do for a sports radio show? You're giving me nothing. So I used to refuse to go into locker rooms when I was working in Tampa because athletes say cliche things like that. That being said, Golden State, they legitimately have to take it one game at a time. You can't be thinking about winning three. You just have to win one. You have to find a way to win tonight. And if they can win this game, it's by far the hardest for all those reasons. It's only going to get easier. You go back, if they get to game six, you got to go all the way back to Oakland. And you think Toronto, that's one of the hardest things to do in a series. If you can't close out at home, going all the way back to the other court, you lose something. You lose your mojo, and it's just tougher. Ask Milwaukee. Milwaukee lost game five against Toronto, and then they had to go to Toronto, and they really couldn't get that mojo back. It's so important for the Raptors to close it out tonight because Golden State's just going to get that momentum. And if they win game six, they'll have all that momentum. Then it's anybody's ball game in game seven. I don't care if Golden State's on the road because all the pressure shifts to Toronto. And I think add that to the fact that KD will only be healthier most likely by that point. And I think Golden State wins the series still. We'll see what happens. Another couple of things in sports news quickly. Did you see that Clemson hired a new assistant coach? And it's somebody you definitely heard of. Terry Bowden is joining
which Bowden?
Terry Bowden. Remember Terry Bowden? Coached Auburn? Bowden. Yeah. Coach Bobby's kid.
He's about the short kind of pudgy one that looks like a Weeble Wobble?
Yeah. Yeah, that's him.
Oh, that guy.
Terry Bowden is joining the Clemson staff. Yeah. It's big news. He's going to join the staff.
Cheaper by the Bowden over there.
Well, you want to know how cheap it is? It's free.
Oh.
It's free. He's joining the Clemson staff. I got this ESPN.com. Terry Bowden to assist Clemson staff as an intern. That's right. Dude's 63, and he's going to be an intern on the Clemson staff. Former Auburn and Akron coach Terry Bowden will assist Clemson's football staff as an unpaid intern while he pursues. It's like a movie. It's like
a Vince Vaughn movie.
Yeah, they made a movie about this, and it's like, when's the last time an old guy came on and just worked for free? This is great.
Well, when you're already that rich, do you need the money?
No, you don't.
I mean, I don't know that Terry Bowden's rich.
He's got daddy's money, he's done TV. He's coached for years, coached Auburn for years, had a very successful run at Auburn. He's been at Akron the last 7 years. I didn't even know.
Probably making at least 150 grand.
Oh, he's probably making 300 grand at Akron, I bet. Yeah, maybe 500. Probably mid-major school. Yeah, they make about 500 grand. So he's been doing very well.
There you go.
He doesn't need the money. So, yeah, why not? Bowden, 63, is enrolled in a graduate program for the athletic leadership at Clemson, a spokesperson told ESPN. I spent seven seasons coaching Akron, where he went 35-52 before being fired in December. So why not? And free help is hard to come by, man. Yeah, good for Terry Bowden. Got to love that. All right, coming up next, we will wrap up the show. Big news of the day, Kevin Durant returning to Golden State for Game 5 this evening. And in honor of Kevin Durant, we will power rank the greatest Kevins of all time. That's next. Wrapping things up on Straight Up with Sturge. Don't forget, tomorrow we got a road game. We will be at Frankie's at the Parkway. If you guys want to hang out with us in Greenville, we'll be hanging out, having some pizza, and talking some sports. Can't wait. That's going to be fun. All right, without further ado, to wrap up the show, in honor of Kevin Durant coming back gallantly in Game 5 this evening to will his team to win, we give you the greatest Kevins of all time. My number five Kevin of all time. I have a tie.
Oh, God. controversy already.
Yeah, of course. Got to have controversy. I have a tie between Kevin Connolly and Kevin Dillon from Entourage. E and Johnny Drama from Entourage.
Okay.
They're two Kevins. I love Entourage.
Great characters.
Show. Yeah.
Fantastic character.
So that's a good tie. That's my number five.
My number five, Kevin McAllister.
Oh, that's a good Kevin.
The kid
right
from
there.
Home Alone.
Yeah, of course, man. Come on. Yeah. Kevin McAllister was great.
Hey. Outsmarted two dummies for two movies.
Yeah, not bad. Yeah. The dummies came back in Home Alone 2. I only saw Home Alone 2
same
once.
Guys.
Yeah, same guy. Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern, I think, was the other guy. Yeah. I forgot about the second one. It wasn't nearly as good as
it had
the
Donald Trump in it.
That's right, it did.
It's in the hotel.
Yeah. Totally forgot about that. Home Alone 1 is just an American classic,
excellent.
Though. Every Thanksgiving... I like to watch it on Thanksgiving because it gets you ready for Christmas. You know, or at Christmas I'll watch it. Love Kevin McAllister. Great Kevin. I love that Kevin. My number four Kevin of all time. I'm going Kevin Smith.
Okay.
Yeah. Great director, man. To Clerks, Jay and Silent Bob, Straight Back. There's a million of them. Chasing Amy. He's phenomenal. Love Kevin
excellent.
Smith.
Yeah. And he wrote the original draft of Superman Lives.
I did not know
Superman
that.
Film that got canceled.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good stuff.
Would have starred Nicolas Cage as Superman.
Yeah.
Would have been really bad.
That's not good.
Yeah. He was actually my number three on my list. My number four, Kevin from Accounting, from The Office.
Oh, I've never
Kevin
seen
from
the Office.
Okay. Wow.
I know I need to watch it.
Okay.
Yeah, I hear it's amazing. This is the American version, right?
Yeah, the American
version. Kevin from Accounting, that's what they call him. He doesn't even have a last name.
I don't know.
I don't know. Love it.
He played in the BMW Charity Pro-Am. He was here.
Was he really?
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know his real name.
Kevin from Accounting. I guess, would that be okay to be known as Kevin from Accounting? I guess so. It's better than being Diesel on the radio, right?
Yeah.
I'll take it. My number three Kevin of all time, the great Kevin Sorbo. From Hercules.
Okay.
Remember that guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're the only one that remembers him.
My number two is Kevin Costner. He's Tin Cup, Dancing with Wolves, Waterworld.
Oh.
Dry land is not a myth. I've seen it.
Yeah, you were the one that saw Waterworld.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kevin Costner's great, though, man. Yeah. I love Kevin Costner. I'm definitely on board with that one. My number two, Kevin of all time. I'm going Kevin Nash.
Okay.
Diesel.
I knew you were going to put him on your list.
I had to, man.
I knew
Come
you were
on.
Put him
yeah,
on the
Diesel,
list.
Big Daddy Cool Diesel, the original Diesel, the OG.
Yeah.
Kevin Nash, man. Love him.
Well, since we shared Kevin Smith, I've already gone through my top four.
Yeah, okay.
I want you to get your number one out there.
All right, my number one Kevin of all time from the Wonder Years, Kevin Arnold. You watch Wonder Years?
No.
A little before your
time? A little bit. I watched a little bit of the Wonder Years
was great, man. Such a good show. It still holds up. I'm gonna have to Netflix it one of these days and just catch a couple episodes.
What was that guy's name who played the main character?
Fred Savage.
I want to see like Fred Savage and Elijah Wood have a fight. They're both like the most wet paper bag human beings out there.
Pretty much, yeah. And I tell you what, the chick on there, Winnie, she's so hot.
Still
now.
Good.
She's
still good looking.
Super hot. All right, your number one
My number
Kevin
one,
of all time.
Kevin got himself some Britney Spears Federline. He boldly went where all of us wanted to go.
Yeah.
And he got Britney Spears.
Has anybody in the history of anything outkicked their coverage more than Kevin Federline getting Britney Spears? What's that guy doing now?
I don't know. He's probably installing, flame grills on pickup trucks.
I wouldn't doubt it. Yeah.
Somewhere.
Man, God, that guy.
He's working at Mako in Sarasota.
I hope she signed a prenup. That's all I got to say. All right, that's it. Those are our power rankings of the greatest Kevins of all time. Federline deserves to win. That's strong. Love that one. That's it. We are done. Diesel, thank you very much, my man. Oh.
Nope.
No, we're not done yet.
We're not done yet.
Get it together, pal. Yeah, we still got a few seconds.
That's why they call me the most decent sports producer.
Yes. Thank you very much, Diesel. Thank you to everyone that weighed in on the phones. Thanks for the tweets. Thanks for the texts. Thanks for the love. Thanks for the hate. Don't forget, we will see you guys tomorrow at 4. Frankie's at the Parkway. We'll see you then. Be good to each other.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.